Assalamu alaikum and welcome back. Now, one may ask, now this great hadith, this beautiful story, what does it have to do with zakat? There is no mentioning of zakat in it. Well, scholars say that verse 60 goes like this. Allah says what translates to as-sadaqat, which means az-zakat here, are only for al-fuqara, the poor, and al-masakeen, also those who are poor, and I'll give you the difference between the two inshallah, and those employed to collect the funds. Remember Umar? He used to collect the funds. Those who are sent by the governor or the ruler, they can have portion of the zakat as their payment. Only those who work for the government. If I were representing a rich man and he's telling me that these are the money, give it to those who need it, can I take some of it? No. And for to attract the hearts of those who have been inclined towards Islam. So again, this is the fourth category which we can give zakat to. And then Allah says, and to free the captives, and for those in debt, and for Allah's cause, that is jihad, and for the wayfarer, that is a traveler who is cut off from everything. This is a duty imposed by Allah. So this hadith is suitable because it talks about those who we give money, their hearts are inclined towards Islam. Now what's the difference between al-fuqara and al-masakeen? Al-faqir and maskeen. They all seem to be alike. Scholars say that there are a number of words in Islam, when they are isolated from each other, when they are used alone, they mean the same. But when we talk and join them, they each have a different meaning. For example, Islam, Iman, Ihsan, Birr, Taqwa, they all mean the same. Once we say Islam and Iman, oh, it's a different issue. Al-Birr wa Taqwa, it's a different issue. Likewise, when we talk about Al-Miskeen, anyone who's poor, he's Miskeen. What about Faqir? Anyone who's poor, he's Faqir. But when we say Al-Faqir and Al-Miskeen together, then there's a different meaning. What's the difference between them? Scholars say that Al-Faqir is one who is unable to find what he needs. So food, he's unable to find food that is sufficient for one day or 2 days. Some even prolong it and say, who cannot find food for a whole year. Meaning that he does not have what is sufficient for him for a whole year. And this is what the old jurors used to also consider. Food is not to be found only today, but you have to have what's sufficient for you and your family for a whole year. And al-maskeen is someone who's better off. Someone who's better off than faqir, but he's unable to find what completes his needs. He finds the needs, but what completes the needs, he doesn't find them. Such as, they say, for example, he has food, he has shelter, but he doesn't have money to pay for his daughter's tuition for school. Now this is not something that is a life or death issue, but it completes his needs. He does not have money to take his son to the doctor. He does not have money to pay for the electricity bill. He has a car, he has a house, but his car broke down and he cannot go to work and he cannot earn money except by fixing the car. So we give him from the zakat. You get now the difference. The poor is someone who's completely poor. He doesn't even have a car. He needs something to sustain him alive, while a miskeen is someone that may have a good salary, but it does not last until the end of the month. So for example, and this is not our topic, but zakat is our topic in general. And I'll give you an example. If I have a janitor, a man who cleans the building, and he has a wife and 3 kids, and his salary is so and so, very little. But, mashallah, at the end of every month, do you need money? He said, no, I saved 200. I saved 300. I have enough. Your family, everything is fine. We don't need anything. Is this poor? No. Is he miskeen? No. He is well off, alhamdulillah, though his salary is very little. But if I have another person whose salary is 10 times as much, yet his family, he's got a father and a mother, he pays for a wife and children, a house, his normal expenses, he does not go on holidays and buy fancy cars, his normal expenses exhaust his salary, so when it is on the 20th of the month, he runs out of money completely. Is he eligible for zakat? So yes, we can give him zakat money, because though his salary is high, but it's gone in normal expenses, not in something that is considered to be extravagant. So I hope this yani explains things, and we open the floor for your questions. First question.
Can we give zakat money to those who have entered Islam? Funding of his house or for his sustenance?
You can give money to those who reverted to Islam, providing they are poor or miskin. But if someone's rich, a movie star who has millions and billions, and he reverts to Islam, and I give him money? No. I give money to someone who is not a Muslim, or he just reverted but he's on the brink of going back. So I give money to the one who I am hoping that he becomes a Muslim, I can give him zakat. If a revert is rich, no, I cannot give him from the zakat unless I have very ample and strong doubts that he is going to go back into his old religion. Rahman.
Regarding the question of jizya, you mentioned about the Ahl al-Kitab, that is Jews and Christians. What about the people who are living in Islamic State who do not belong to these religions, some other religion? What happens to them? Do they also pay the jizya or what?
It is an issue of dispute among scholars whether jizya can be taken only from the people of the book, Jews and Christians, and some also included al-Majus, fire worshippers with them. Or is it for all people to pay jizya? If we say only the Jews and Christians can pay jizya, this means that the others have to be either kicked out or executed. And it appears that no, it is a general statement, and Allah mentioned the jizya for the Jews and the Christians, Ahlul Kitab, in Surah At-Tawbah to talk about what was general. However, it appears that it's an issue that is much wider, and this depends not on individuals. Remember, this is something only for the rulers to take part in. So as for us, it's a theoretical thing. At the moment, I don't think and I don't believe that any Muslim state takes jizya from those who are living on their soil. Not a single Muslim state in my knowledge, or to my knowledge, and Allah Azza wa Jal knows best.
For example, if you have a land, then you consider it as your wealth and you give it every year the zakah on it. But now you think to do a construction on it and you have done the construction. So on what should we give the zakah? On the land or on the business we do from that construction?
Are you investing when you're constructing? You're investing so that you can sell it?
Yes.
Okay. I will even broaden the answer a little bit because people need this. If you have a plot or a land and you bought it for the reason of reselling it again and buying a big land and reselling it again and making profit, you have to pay zakat every year, 2.5% on the current price, because this is considered to be an item number 4 of the categories of zakat. Things that are displayed for sale, things that are displayed for commerce. So if you buy a piece of land and your intention is to sell it immediately after you get a profit and buy something, and so this is your intention. But if you buy a piece of land on the hope that you will build a house maybe 20 years from now, or on the hope that you will build a building to rent, not to sell, huh? There is no zakat. There is no zakat. Because you remember, if you master the 4 categories, you know that anything that comes out is not considered to be zakatable. Got me? Okay, now if I bought a land with the intention of building a house or an apartment building and selling it with a profit, In this case, you have to pay zakat. Why? Because it's displayed for selling and buying. On what should I pay the zakat? On the initial amount I paid for the land, or for the construction that I paid for whatever I've constructed, which is not finished yet? Scholars say that after 1 year, when it's time for the zakat, you have to evaluate. So people who are professional would come and say, the land is $1 million, and the construction at the moment, if you sell it as it is, people will give you 200,000. The whole thing cost 1.2, give zakat on 1.2. What about if I buy something and the value goes down? I bought it for $1 million and for trade, to sell and buy. After a year, the land prices fell down and it's now cost 400,000. How much do I pay zakat for the $1 million initially, or the 400,000 on the current price of today? And the opposite is correct. If it doubled from 1 million to 2 millions, I pay the zakat over the 2 millions. Yes, brother.
Assalamu alaikum.
Salam.
What would you suggest, zakat on non-halal money?
Zakat on non-halal money, there is no zakat on non-halal money, simply because it is not owned by you. You cannot pay zakat on my friend's property, because this is not my money. I earned it through selling drugs. I earned it through selling intoxicants. I stole the money. This money is not mine. It's haram money. And me being haram means that I cannot keep it. I cannot utilize it. I have to spend it. Yes, brother.
Can the income tax be given through zakat money?
That's a very good question. Can we consider income tax to be part of our zakat? And the answer is no. Zakat has to be paid in the 8 categories, and your government is not one of them. Income tax is probably going to be spent on buying arms, on pavement of roads, on building schools and hospitals, and all of these are not part of the sources where you're allowed to pay your zakat for. I'm afraid that this is all the time we have. Until we meet next time, في أمان الله. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.